What's new, Nate?
What's new is this weekend I went on my the first real deal good dove hunt I've been on in probably 10 years, honestly.
Yeah, it looked like you whacked and stacked.
Yeah, we shot Saturday morning because in Georgia, only the opening weekend, which was September 7th, is afternoon only. That's the only day it's afternoon only. And then the rest of the season, it's like sunrise and sunset like normal. So we hunted Saturday morning, and I ended up with 13 out of the 15 limit. And not because there weren't enough birds, because I couldn't hit the broadside of a dang barn.
Can we have some follow-up questions here?
You're a little rusty.
We can.
How many shells did you take to harvest 13 doves? Are you willing to share that with the podcast audience?
It was close to two boxes, probably. It was not good.
Oh,
it was not good. There was a guy, listen, there was a guy on the field with us that went 15 for 22.
Dang, that's good.
Yeah, the dude shoots clays, like, he hits like 99 out of 100.
Yeah, but
shooting
clays aren't the same as shooting doves.
No, they're not. And he even said, he's like, doves fly slower than clays. He's like, you don't lead them as much.
Yeah, I buy that.
I have a question.
It's been a minute since I've been on a good dove shoot.
Yeah, yes. This was my first one. It was great.
I've never been on a dove hunt. Do you use shotguns for that?
Yes.
Okay.
It's like duck hunting, sort of, but without decoys. Well, you can use decoys, but you're on dry land, and you've got other people sitting around you.
And you don't use steel shot. You use lead shot. You use a much lighter load. So it'd probably be fun for you because the pounding on your shoulder wouldn't be as bad.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, we need to find somebody with a dove lease so we can go.
Yeah. Good luck with that around here. Or the people that have them want to charge $500 a person or something.
Right. Right.
Yeah, they're all about stewarding the sport, but we're going to charge you $175 for my family of four. Would be like $600 to go out there. Is that right? $700 to go out there.
We ain't doing that.
Nope.
I ain't doing it.
Nope.
That's crazy town.
What's new, Travis?
So, I don't know. Have you had time to check out our new website? We have a new website.
You know, I haven't because I've been slacking and shooting. So,
yeah.
You know.
I don't know if that's slacking if you're out shooting. I think that's probably that's the blasting part of Cast and Blast, right?
This is true.
So, we don't have web guys. When you have this kind of podcast money rolling in, you don't go to the high-end web shops. You kind of DIY it. So, we DIY our website. And our site was not bad, but it was not good either.
Yeah, I mean, it was okay. It wasn't great.
So we've done pretty much a complete overhaul of the website. I hope people are even able to hear this episode. There's no telling if our feed still works. Like, I've done a bunch of tests on that, but we're going to keep our fingers crossed that you guys are hearing this Tuesday. But some cool things we added. I'm going back through and indexing all of our keeps and putting links to all that in there. We added a friend of the show button. So now if you want to contribute through Patreon, we set up a Patreon for the page, which is like this thing where you can donate a couple bucks a month or whatever to help us keep the lights on. Thought that was a cool option.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm pretty pumped about it.
What are the different Patreon levels they can choose today?
I think there's a $3 friend of the show and a $7 conservation club or something like that. And that's per month.
Mm-hmm.
So we're putting out free content. We're actually increasing in a couple of weeks. We're going to start a second show that's going to start posting out on Thursdays. So you get a lot of content from us. So we thought that was a good way. People have asked sometimes about us doing something like that. So we figure we'd give that option to you. Anyway, pumped about it. If you find something wrong on our website, something doesn't work, shoot me a message and let me know. Like, because we don't have a quality and dev and test team. It's basically
we don't have like a bug reporting.
No.
Like, department. Yep. So
we don't have a software development lifecycle tracker.
All three of us have worked in IT at various points in our career for probably combined about 40 years. However,
probably.
None of us have ever worked in web design, to my knowledge.
Nope.
Oh, you did. That's right. Emily did.
I just project managed a whole team and supported an e-commerce platform. It's fine. We don't know each other that well.
Oh,
it's only
gosh.
Been
no
a couple
big deal.
Years.
I was more talking of like programming a WordPress site. Getting into some CSS and making some stuff go away and come back and disappear. Can you do that?
Yeah. No, actually, nope, I can't.
You heard it here, folks.
Good.
What
catch.
Is new with you, Emily?
We have some new reviews. I'm so excited to report.
Can I clarify something about our reviews?
Would you please?
Yeah, we don't pay for reviews. Like,
Travis found a rival show that paid for some reviews that all of a sudden had like literally went from like 25 reviews to 500 reviews overnight.
It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous.
So he's a little salty about it.
I'm not salty about it. I just like, come on, man. Like, where do you draw the line in the industry as far as, I don't know. I am salty about it.
You are. I know this.
No,
about
I'm
you.
Salty about the thing, the fact that that even exists as an option. That's what I'm not salty about them doing that. I'm just salty about it existing as an option.
Well, speaking of our marketing prowess, let me read you this review. JBoyette8900 says, best podcast ever. I just started listening to podcasts and you guys are by far the best. I follow Travis on Instagram and never even knew he was the host of this show.
Marketing genius.
That's my favorite review
I have like 25,000 followers or something, 28,000 followers on Instagram, and he did not know I had a show. That speaks to my credibility as an Instagram genius.
No, it's because you won't market it. And like, Travis refuses to use stories, and all of these things make me cackle with laughter.
I suck at stories, man. Do you watch stories?
All the time.
Do you watch stories?
I do. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, I don't watch stories, so I'm like, why would anyone ever click on that?
And what annoys the...
Literally everyone on Instagram clicks on them except you.
And
like,
Travis,
you're the only one.
Is the only one of the three of us that has enough followers to have the swipe up option.
Right.
So he's like, it annoys the dookie out of me that he won't use it.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Let's finish.
I'll do better. I'll do better at stories.
Let's finish this review. This person says, I love the keeps and releases of each episode, especially when they are related to snacks and the duck blind. Keep inspiring young sportsmen like me because the future of our outdoors is in my generation's hands. You guys are absolutely awesome.
You're awesome, JBoyette0900. 8900.
Yeah, you are. Okay, one more.
That was a good review.
It was. This one's called Hilarious and Informative. I don't even hunt or fish, and I love listening to these three. I'm a huge fan of nature in general, and they also love, share, and fight for the things I think matter. Plus a few deep belly laugh jokes along the way. Obviously devastatingly handsome from their voices.
You can hear that.
Balanced by what we all know is the real core, Emily.
Wow.
Cheers to her, the guys, and everyone who listens. I enjoy being in this group. Thanks for keeping it real. Stay woke.
Stay freaking woke.
That's from Wonton. What a great username, first of all.
Fantastic username. You want to do one more?
No, I feel like that's enough.
You're going to save them?
I'm going to save two more for next week.
We've got some more new ones, but we'll save them for next week.
That's all awesome. You get. Unless you go leave us a review, then you might get featured on the show. All you have to do is go to Apple Podcasts, scroll down so you see the stars, tap 5 stars, write a review. Boom. Done. Roasted.
Also, we have 3 non-5-star reviews. One of those I feel like we know. I feel like it was D-Wood Nasty or somebody. But the other two did not leave their name. And I'm like, man, if you were going to leave a 1-star or 2-star review.
Second marriage.
Yeah. Leave
for
your
both
name.
Of us. You
cowards.
Never know.
Yeah. Leave your freaking name. Like, own up. Man up. Not that we would call you out on the show.
Yeah.
Speaking of calling people out.
Yes. Emily?
Do we need to make some money?
We do need to make some. We have to pay some bills.
We have to pay some bills.
How do we pay the bills?
We do ads.
For?
For Hallett Insurance. Fletcher Hallett. Listen, this is what happened. I saw this on the Facebook this week. I'm going to read it to you. I don't have the name. I don't want to say names, but they'll say, my buddy who does not do social media is a longtime duck hunter. His shop caught fire a few days ago. He lost his rig, probably $5,000 in decoys, his 30-foot offshore boat with brand new twins on the back, a 4-wheeler, all of his tools, 3 Yeti coolers, all of his rods, and the list goes on. He's well into 6 figures in the shop. Make sure you have insurance. Make sure you understand your policy. Can you imagine that happening?
That would be terrible.
Oh, my God. So.
And you could alleviate that by calling our good buddy Fletcher Hallett, Hallett Insurance. And I've heard that a number of you have reached out to him in recent weeks.
I think it's really smart to reach out, though, because we have the same kind of setup, like with a shop, and a lot of our decoys and things are stored in there. But we also store our gas cans in there. And with hurricane season, it's just like I never thought about all the things that could go terribly, terribly wrong. So if you want to make sure that you're covered in the event of a crazy unforeseen circumstance, make sure you call Fletcher Hallett, Hallett Insurance.
Give the jingle.
Double the L's and double the T's. Hallett for all your insurance needs.
F Hallett, that's H-A-L-L-E-T-T at HallettInns.com. Or you can call or text him at 904-315-5812.
Back to the show.
Now back to the show. Are we getting good at segues?
No.
After 101 of these, are we getting good at segues?
I mean, when you do the segue and then just say, are we getting good at segues? That's not a good segue.
The segue?
Yeah, I mean, listen, that's just not that work that way.
You didn't even help with the segue. So just, that was a brilliant segue.
Okay.
The friend test.
Okay. What are we talking about today, Travis?
The friend test. The best friend test.
Because we're the three best friends that anyone could have.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Like, we frequently do a segment called the Anonymous Mailbag, if you're new to the show, where we help out people, listeners usually, that are reaching out to us anonymously and they have problems. And one of the things I most frequently ask is, recording a podcast here.
I dropped my pen.
She's also got a sleeve of crackers. Let's not sleep on this. She's got a sleeve of crackers sitting on the desk she's eating. One of the things we frequently ask is she or is he the one? When they're in a relationship, right? So I was thinking about this in choosing of hunting and fishing buddies. Are they the one? Like, and so we all right. kind of have that moment. Like, okay, so this is what I wrote down. The three of us are all big fans of The Office.
Correct.
And unabashedly, the best episode of The Office is Dinner Party in season 4.
100%.
I would agree with that, yes.
All three of us, and if Kaylee were here or Matt were here, we could quote a chunk of that episode, right? And when you run into somebody else and they're like talking about Dinner Party and making a reference to that episode, you're like, did we just become best friends? Like Will Ferrell and
oh. Oh,
John C. Reilly.
No one tell
Thank
us.
You.
Dang it.
Thank
dang
you.
It. Oh, dang, I should have waited.
Piece of that fancy face.
So could somebody quote Ocean's 11 verbatim? I feel like that's a big friend test pass, yeah. You know? Emily loves people that eat chocolate and beer, right? Isn't that your thing? M&M's and beer.
You love people that eat beer?
No, eat M&M's and drink beer.
Thank you.
Okay.
At the same time.
Got it. Thank you for the clarification. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Nate. Thank
There's
you.
A word for what I would say right now. The other thing I thought is a great friend test indicator is podcast listenership. Mm. Like because even though we have a lot of listeners, our listenership on the grand scale of the population of Florida or the population of the world or the population of the United States is not very good, right? So when you run right. across a person somewhere and they're like, oh, man, I listen. Hey, are you with Cast and Blast? Or, hey, do you listen to this show or that show? That's a pretty good. You're like, oh, my God, did we just become best friends? Because you listen to this
right.
train wreck of a podcast that we put out.
Right.
So I was tossing around the idea. Emily and I were talking earlier this week around what would be kind of our qualifiers and disqualifiers for did we just become best friends? Do you have any?
Or if you'd be, is this the same as if you'd hunt with them?
Yeah. Yeah. Would you hunt with
Are
them?
Are you
going to
make
them?
This about hunting and fishing or like, or did you start a different podcast right now?
No, this is absolutely about hunting and fishing.
Okay.
Because for me, being best friends, we gotta have qualifiers around hunting and fishing.
Yeah.
So do you have some?
Yeah.
Would you like to share them with
yeah,
the group?
Yeah.
Okay. You remember how this works, right?
Yes. I don't believe I'd never get to go first.
Oh, wow. Well,
I'm sort of aghast at this whole situation.
I had just been talking for a while. I didn't want to keep going straight into mine.
Nate?
Go. You go ahead.
Okay.
I don't even know what Nate's doing.
You're ready.
Nate
go.
Is like
you go.
Uber Eats over there. I don't.
He's looking up
his list. I don't understand what's happening.
I
right
am
now.
Looking Leave up my things.
My friend alone.
Hold on.
Okay.
I'm also pulling up your Facebook post because there's some really good ones on there.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, listeners. You came through on the Facebook.
Yeah, we'll hit some of ours and then we'll visit some of theirs.
Yep.
Okay. A disqualifier for me being friends with you for hunting or fishing is that you cannot shush me. If we're in a Ooh. Blind or like a
shh, really,
a, like a, do not just shh. Do not shush shh. Me.
What if ducks are shh. Coming?
They'll shh. Be fine. Don't do it. Shh. Don't shush me.
No. Why? I'm just curious. Why does that trigger
Because
you?
It makes me want to punch you in the throat.
Really?
Yeah. Put a carrot down your throat. Punch it till it breaks.
I heard that.
Everyone feels
better. Do you have any others?
I have a ton of them. Do you want me to do them all in one?
Yeah, let's hear some.
Swath?
Yeah, give us.
We're not doing this normal style. This is
I'm
not
just mixing it up, okay?
Okay. If someone answers the question, are you hungry, with anything other than I can eat or I could eat, we're not friends.
We're not best friends.
You can't say no. If you say no, like, I don't know what that is in life. I feel
if
like
someone says, are you hungry, and they say no.
No, the right answer is I could eat.
Okay. That's on brand for you.
That's on brand for everyone. Everyone's nodding their head in their cars right now driving to work. If you don't curse occasionally, nope, we out. if you can rap, oh, this is a positive one. If you can rap any or all of Look at Me Now, you know, look at me now. At
I don't me. Know. Sing a little bit more of that. Let me hear a little bit more.
Then
of
you're
it.
In. You're probably in. We're probably going to be friends. If you're okay with me peeing on the boat accidentally.
Wait, what?
We
wow.
can be friends.
Wait, what? Let's bring out the edit music.
Because it's really cold during duck season and you have to like hang, you know, hang off the side of the boat. But sometimes you go to do that and like no one hears anything hitting the water.
You hear it hitting aluminum.
Yeah. There's just silence. Or fiberglass. And you're like, well, I'm done. And they just kind of look at you and you just hang your head guiltily. But
then you say, anyone have any snacks?
I say, I'm starving.
Wow.
I have one more. Do you want me to just dump all mine out?
Yeah. Okay. Please just give us one more.
Ladies, early mornings are hard. Can we all just agree that no one rolls out of bed in their 30s looking great? And so if we're going to go duck hunting together, I would appreciate it if you would use a filter and get approval before posting a hunting picture to social media, or we cannot be friends.
Wow.
And that goes double for you.
Oh, I know that
Whoa.
Rule.
Yeah.
I already know that rule. I'm well aware of that rule.
That's
after,
a serious rule.
After I took a picture of you and your friend Kaylee Grace a couple weeks ago at Grove Roots with the portrait mode on my iPhone, and you were like, you can't post that.
He posted
terrible.
It with no filter.
And then I went into Lightroom and did all sorts of edits to it using some kind of photo app. She's like, no, that's not a filter. I'm like, what the? I don't even
it's
understand
because
what
you
people
don't
are
do
talking
stories
about.
On Instagram. There's a beauty filter that makes you look beautiful.
Yeah, that's I'm no.
That's nope. what you need. That's what we require.
I can't do that. I'm sorry.
Well, and we can't be friends.
Nate, do you have any of these before we get to our listeners? Do you have any you want to throw in here? I've got a few too.
Yeah. No, I got a couple. Muzzle control.
Yes.
If you don't have good muzzle control, we cannot be friends.
Is that
or
about
hunt
farting?
Together.
No, it's about shooting.
Well, it could be about farting too. But farting's
this
funny.
Entire episode is just going to be that cleaning music in the background. Like, there's not going to be any. People are going to like press play, and we're going to talk about a new website. And then
tighten your muzzle. What do you mean by muzzle control for people who might be like new to the show?
So the end of your barrel is called the muzzle, and people that don't have good muzzle control just kind of hold their gun however they want to, and they just swing it around, and you swing it like toward people
mm-hmm.
and point it at people as they swing it mm-hmm. or whatever.
The lack of awareness. Of
I'm going to jump in.
Exactly.
Gun safety.
I'm going to jump in there with a pet peeve of mine is when they point their muzzle down in the boat.
Oh yeah. That's a good one.
That is a thing. I did not think about that until you just said that, but that's a,
yep. No, that's a good one
to go off.
I
there's a
our
hole
boat
in the boat.
Was made of like space shuttle stuff.
It's made of Kevlar.
Can you shoot through Kevlar?
I don't know. I know that's what they make police vests out of.
But you don't want to find out, right?
Yes, actually, I do. Can someone please send us a message?
I think there's a reason that they make police vests and don't just sell you rolls of Kevlar that you wrap around yourself. Like, I think there's weaves and stuff like that that strengthen it. I don't think Kevlar in and of itself just means it's bulletproof.
This sounds like a great Patreon episode where we take out some Kevlar and shoot it.
Okay.
And
but we're not shooting my boat.
On it. No,
like,
yeah.
Under no circumstances are we shooting my boat.
We'll get a different boat. It'll be fine.
What else you got?
All right. So another one I have is people who want to talk about the outdoors. Like just
yes.
get into it and really talk about it and really get deep into like deep into tactics and strategy, deep into conservation type things. Like people who want to have serious conversations about hunting, fishing, the outdoors.
The irony,
like those
are
the kind of people I like to hang around.
The irony of you saying that and being a co-host of this podcast is not lost on me. Because we're not
because
very
we
serious.
Don't ever talk about the outdoors.
Okay, hold on.
Okay, you go first.
Yeah, same idea, but slightly like like veer to the right adjacent? A little bit. Yeah, it's adjacent to your thought. It's like, yes. However, if they want to talk about politics, I'm out.
Yeah, me too.
Stresses me out. Oh, Nate? Sorry, me you have too. To bleep me. Oh
my God, this is just gonna...
Sorry.
Was Emily on this episode? Yeah, we just had to bleep her out entirely. She couldn't stop talking about farting and peeing on the boat and cussing and... Oh my gosh. You know what I thought of when you said that? I thought of being at like... Okay, like you had an engagement party and we went to it. My wife and I attended it.
Right, right.
Who do I gravitate to at the engagement party?
The hunters and fishermen.
The groups
in the
of people that want to talk about hunting and fishing. Other guys are like, hey, you know, did you see the stock market went up? Hey, man, did you see the new technology that came out? I'm like, yeah, that's cool. Let me go find somebody that wants to talk about squirrel hunting.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Another one I have is if you aren't into respecting the resource.
Yes.
Like you could be a hunter and fisherman, but have crazy ideas about hunting laws and fishing laws that I'm not into, then yeah, we can't be friends.
Can't be best friends.
But if you're into respecting the resource and keeping to your limit and at the right times and the right places and, you know, just doing all that stuff, I'm into it. I'm yeah. good. Oh my God.
We met a couple last night at dinner that was talking about shooting over deer limits in Georgia. And I could just like, as soon as he said that, I was like, oh no.
You just kind of like,
yeah,
yeah.
She was like, do you know who you're talking to right now?
I didn't say that, but I thought it. I was like, this is not going to end well. But Travis was very well behaved.
Tell me again where your lease is exactly. Like what part of Georgia is that in? And what?
Hello, Georgia DNR. Hello.
Yeah. All right. Are you done?
Yeah. Okay. That's good.
I got
that's
a couple. Things that make me say, dude, I want to roll with this guy is people that like to throw the cast net as much as I do.
Yes.
People that.
That's why we're friends. That's why we're
you
friends.
You and me, Lil Warbs is one like this. Austin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that dude will go with me and we could net bait for 6 hours and fish for two. Like there's just nothing more fun than trying to catch bait. There's nothing more fun than that. Sorry. I think in a previous life, I was a commercial fisherman.
Trying to catch mullets more fun.
Another one for me is people who can cast, period.
Yeah. Hey.
Like.
So you're not spending all day like untangling lines out of trees
and
stuff.
Well, and I say that as a guide, right? As a guide, you get a lot of that and that comes with the territory and you expect it and I welcome it. I don't want to discourage people. However, for the best friend test, when I'm wading through that, I want people that can put it where it needs to go.
Right.
People who can walk through the woods without sounding as though it's Vietnam.
I'm into that one.
Like people
yes.
that are stealthy. They
like if I have to turn around and say, hey, pick up your feet.
Yeah.
That's not a good thing.
I say walk through the woods. I also, that goes double for the boat.
Yeah. Like slamming hatches and jumping on the bottom.
I'm not going to say names here, but my in-laws,
they're a little loud on the boat.
We have taken my boat to like the center of a flat on a rising tide when I knew the fish were just going to be, and literally it's like World War III. I mean, I didn't know my boat could make some of the noises that it made. If you looked at an aerial, if you had a drone, it would look as though it was a firecracker going off with all the snook and redfish wakes going in the opposite direction of our boat. Man, I don't know why they're not biting today.
Yeah.
Disqualifiers for me are people who keep their headlamps on while we're driving and then turn around and talk to you.
Oh.
Thus creating a night blindness situation.
And I've probably done that to you before when I read your thing and I was like, I've probably done that. Before.
That wasn't pointed directly at you, Nate, but yes.
No, but I mean, I'm sure I have.
I was on a boat with somebody the other night. We were running around and I had to check with him. I was like, dude, have I blinded you yet? Cause you don't really think about it. Like, especially
if you're
shining stuff. And then the other one I'll do is complaining about bugs. That's a disqualifier for me. Like, I don't care how bad they are. I don't care how bad they are. You know what you're getting into. This is Florida and you're going into the outdoors. There are bugs.
Dude, this comes from this guy right here. He went out banding ducks the other night and came home with I'm talking about, it looks like he got, just, I can't even say it. Something bit him and he has like a volleyball sized welt on the side of his body and he's like, it's fine, it'll buff out.
I'm fine. It what did was expand. It? I don't know. It was either a wasp, which I have an allergy to, or a caterpillar. I'm thinking it was a caterpillar, though.
Those things are bad.
It was pitch black. We were banning ducks. Like, I didn't have time for none of that. Ain't nobody got time to get stung by stuff. All right. We got to move this along because we got to get to keep it released. But we posted this on my Facebook page. And as always, friends of the show. Are they no longer friends of the show because now we have a qualifier for friends of the show?
Yeah.
Are we grandfathering everybody in?
Give us your money. They're like distant cousins of the show.
No, they're friends of the show. No. They can be friends. All right. Nate, anything stick out to you on Facebook? I'm going to hit one while you're looking.
Yeah, go ahead.
My personal favorite right off the top was Tyler Anderson, who came to the live show. He said if they like to shoot coots, immediate friends. Which, if you know this guy, I'm going to make this up, but it's going to be pretty close to correct. He killed 15 coots a day. I think Tyler killed like 300 coots one season.
Good night.
And like 27 ducks. Like, dude just wants to shoot coots. Like, he loves it more than anything. His dad is like a pretty serious... Tyler's a serious duck hunter, but he just loves to hunt coots. Like, he enjoys it. He will, like... He'll, like, square them up and stuff.
More power to him, man. I've heard the gizzards are pretty good.
Yeah. So I connected him with Hunter because I knew that Hunter loves them more than anything in the world. What do you got? Somebody go.
I liked Brian Cottingham's Bush Light is never a disqualifying trait.
Yeah. I think I put that in my question, the way I phrased it. Is it a keep or a release if they bring Bush Light? I don't even know. I don't drink beer.
I mean, anything light and cheap. If it's hot outside, it's good.
It's good to
That's
go.
That's true.
What is your preferred beer in that situation? I know yours is Ultra.
Yep.
Mine's probably Coors. I'm a Coors type of guy then. Coors Light.
Tap the Rockies.
All right, what do you got?
Courtney Marie Martin says, LaCroix water, venison jerky, dogs, and some good laughs are a keys to my heart in the great outdoors. Yes.
Is that your alter ego?
Yes. She's my soul sister. I got another one too. Justin Morales said, how did he say it? If you're listening to a song and change the lyrics on the way to the hunt and it melts to perfection, for example, Airplanes by B.O.B., I could really use a buck right now, buck right now, buck right now. Yes, that
can
is me.
Can you sing that for us?
No.
Do you know Airplanes by B.O.B.?
Yes.
Can you sing that for us?
No.
I don't believe you know it.
Okay.
You got any more, Nate, stuck out to you?
Yeah. D-Wood Nasty said, don't shoot mergs and we're cool.
Yeah.
Just like straight up, don't shoot any merg answers. Like,
I asked
okay,
him, what are we supposed to shoot then?
Yeah, yeah. Like, here's my thing. If it flies by me, it's dying. Like, that's the way I hunt. And if it happens to be a merg answer, it happens to be a merg answer. Like, I'm not going to not shoot a merg answer.
One time Nate came home with a bag full of mosquitoes.
I should mention Ryan Briggs, one of his qualifiers is you got to be able to joke around. I hunt more than most. If careless whisper offends you on the way to the spot or Russian techno while we're setting out decoys upsets you, I have to ask, are you the one? I'm terrified of the careless whisper thing. I won't go hunting with that dude because of that.
I was just about to say, please don't get in a boat alone with him.
I also, this was repeated. Anyone that huffs or questions what time to meet up at the ramp, Todd Dunnigan said that. Trey Knight said, main disqualifier for me is not showing up in the morning of the hunt or without a courtesy call or negligent discharge, which I guess back to your muzzle control, right?
Yeah. If the muzzle is always pointed in a safe direction, you never have an accident.
Dean Gerber. Can we talk about Dean for a second? Friend of the show, Dean Gerber?
Sure. Let's talk about Dean.
Apparently liking The Office hasn't been a disqualifier so far. I have not, am not, probably never will be a fan of that show.
Yikes.
That's a hot take, Dean.
Are we allowed to scratch friends of the show from the friends of the show list?
I don't think so because he's been a good friend of the show and he actually put
a
sticker on his car, but this makes me feel
I know.
Like I'm...
And he's just a good dude. I talked to him for a long time with the live show. He's a good dude.
He is a good dude. His wife's cool too. I would have to find out like how far he made it before he decided he couldn't do The Office. Like, how many episodes in did you?
Because if it's season one,
yeah, you got to go past season one.
You got to go. You got to get to season two.
Season four is the money season.
Yeah,
that's a great season. Great season.
This one made me think of Emily, Jim Hasley. When I run into a person who's willing to make a 3 or 4 day trek sleeping in the bed of a truck or hiking under the stars, living on gas station food and mountain house just to see if there's something to be caught, killed, scavenged, etc., with no more than a few days lead time and no expectation of outcome, that rate's pretty high.
Yeah. Me and Jim are soulmates.
Yeah.
I feel basically like we're going on an adventure. You coming? Like, no, no pre-qualifiers. Yeah. No, like, this is what we're doing. It's just like, sure, let's go.
I think
like that's the kind of person that'd
when you
be cool.
Lived here, some of our best hunts were, hey, I'm going hunting in the morning. Like I'd text you at 9:30 at night. Like, what are you doing tomorrow? Nothing. Well, you want to be at my house at 4? Sure. I'll see you then.
Yeah. See you then.
Done. Chris Spencer, too good to shoot coots, disqualified. Moving around at shooting light, disqualified. Hunting hunt hard, but willing to have a good time, qualified. A lot of that. I was very happy to see that come
that.
Up so much. Like, you know what our listeners share? An inability to all do reviews, but they do share.
Oh, burn.
They share, I feel like, something we share, which is the idea that the hunt is a success when you go on it. It's not all
right.
About what you kill. And our guys go hard and hunt hard, and they
you
stack
have to
some
hunt
stuff
hard
up.
In Florida, there's no choice.
But man, I love that.
Yep, me too.
That was fun.
Nate, what is your release?
My release is that sunglasses don't float.
Oh,
Smith Optics are gone, aren't they?
They're gone. I was the last lake weekend over Labor Day, and I was on a jet ski, and I got a little fancy, and I threw myself off, and the sunglasses went off, and they're at the bottom of some Georgia lake. Somewhere.
I'm gonna see if I can put some sad music behind this.
Yeah, it's a bad. It was a bad day. Bad day. So now I'm rocking some like $30 jobs from Academy that do okay, but they're not the same.
They're not Smiths.
They're not the same. But these float. These are claimed to float. So I'm like,
have
well, maybe I just stick
yet?
With these. I have not. I should.
That's what you get for being on a. That's what you get for being
anyway,
on a jet ski.
Yeah. That. Yeah. You're right. You're right.
Scourge
as much as I complain, as much as I complain about jet ski people, I'm sitting here riding around. Okay.
Yep.
Anyway,
what
so,
is your
sad
release,
day,
Emily?
So I came across female listener. Well, and maybe some male listeners. There's this really trashy website called PerezHilton.com, and it's like a lot of celebrity gossip and things like that. I do follow him on Instagram because it keeps me like up to date on the pop culture gossip. But he had this article that I swiped up on. And the title of it was...
You sent this to me. This is a good release.
The title of it was, Grandmother Reportedly Mauled to Death by Her Own Hunting Dogs. And I thought, okay, that's interesting for me. So I swiped up on it and read the article. And in his article, he never mentioned the word hunting. He maybe mentioned it one time in the article. But the fact that he put it in the title, and then I kind of Googled it and was looking at all the other like syndicates that picked it up and everything... Why it got to be about hunting is all I'm saying. Like, they definitely put that in there as like fodder for, you know, the climate that we're in today with gun control and things like that. And I was very irritated by it because I have hunting dogs and I hunt. And that was the first time it showed up on something that was in my algorithm on social media. I know you guys see it all the time, but I picked up on it instantly. I sent it to Travis. I was like, is it just me or are they really trying to stir something up here? And it was... I don't know. It made me feel feelings, you know?
Yeah. The problem is hunting has become an inflammatory word for people.
Yep.
Like, it's something just to kind of get, you know, it triggers something in people. Like terrorism or, you know, illegal immigrant or, you know, it's like those type of like big hairy words. It's like becoming that in some circles of the culture.
Agreed.
Which is disheartening and concerning.
Agreed. That was a good release. And I was very impressed you picked up on that nuance because I read the entire article. She sent it to me and I was like, this lady's like 67 years old. I looked at the pictures of her and her face. Like, they don't look like not that you have to look a certain way to be outdoorsman, but
right.
Like there was no mention of them hunting with the dogs. There was no mention of, they just called them hunting dogs. And I don't know. That was a bizarre.
Yeah, it was just
did they
weird.
Say, did they say what kind of dogs they were?
Coonhounds. A woman in upstate New York died after being mauled by one or both of her pet coonhounds at her home.
Anyway.
And then it says later in the article, it's unclear how long the couple owned the hunting dogs, who are generally sweet, mellow, and sociable.
Yeah.
Coon dogs is kind of broad, sweeping term.
Yeah, that's what, like, if someone was mauled in their home by their beagle, first off, you should see that coming because beagles are sneaky. But if someone was mauled in their home by their lab, they wouldn't say was mauled in their home by their hunting dog. They would say mauled in their home by their Labrador Retriever, unless they wanted to push an agenda of some sort.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Similar vein, the Gowanus meeting is canceled for today. That was originally, we were talking about a couple weeks ago, the Save Gowanus. They wanted to do a development on the outpost. There's been some changes to that. I don't have a clear picture of what's going on there, but I know the meeting has been canceled. So, but that's not my release. My release is on the Save Gowanus Now Facebook page this past 2 weeks ago, something like that. Now, Save Gowanus Now is a group that's aimed at preserving Gowanus. They don't want any development to go on there. But they posted an article or a petition, a change.org petition, asking for their members to sign to ban crane hunting in Alabama.
Huh?
Yeah. And then...
Where's Gowanus?
In Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay.
And then she went off on a tangent about how hunters did not show up at the Protect Gowanus meeting, and the actual first sentence of the change.org petition said, unscrupulous hunters are killing these endangered birds. None of which is true. Like,
yeah, that whole sentence is 100% false.
And here is the release, okay? The release is, and I've been talking about this a little bit on the Southeast BHA page the last week or so. The release for me is we've got to do a better job of integrating ourselves with preservation groups, but maintaining our identity as hunters and being outspoken about or proud of what we're doing and why we do it. Because what's happening right now is we're saying, well, I'm going to align with this group because we both want the same thing. And that is true. We both do kind of want the same thing, but ultimately we don't want the same thing. Ultimately, I want consumptive use of that property. I want it managed in the correct way. I want the birds managed in the correct way. I want the resource to be managed effectively. That's not what they want. They want to preserve that resource. And those are two very diametrically opposed things when you get past this battle that we're in today. And if we're not standing up for ourselves at this point, like, this will go down as a pivotal moment. Just like the 30s and 40s went down as a pivotal moment in conservation, this will go down the other way. And it's just a concern I have.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I, you know, we talk about money and bringing people to the table all the time. So, like, we talk about maybe, oh, let's do a tax on hiking gear and let's do a tax on this stuff. But my major problem with that is that these people will now have a seat at the table.
Right.
If they do that.
Right.
These people now have a seat at the table of conservation that traditionally hunters have been the ones at the table.
Yeah.
With the money. And so, like, it just, what if these people don't have the same ideas that we do about hunting or about conservation issues? They want to, like you said, preserve it and basically make it like untouchable can't hunt on it or whatever.
In Florida, to unpack that idea, and I didn't want to go too far down this road, but I will, to unpack that idea a little bit more. In Florida, if you leave something untouched, it's going to be covered in invasives in about 15 minutes. Like Kogan grass and Brazilian pepper will take it over. In like that. Hyacinth.
Yep.
It's just, that's not a real thing. So you've got to have some level of management to that wild place. And the other question that keeps being brought up is, well, I'd rather see it as a preserve than as a Walmart. And initially on the surface, I said, I kind of agree with that. But the more I've thought about it, I'm like, I don't know if I do agree with that. Like, because at some point, could you have so much land that you can't actually take care of that land and manage that land and can't do anything with the resource of that land. So I'll unpack that a little bit more in my keep. But anyway, this was a blatant view of what I've seen, which is the idea of, hey, we need to dig a hole together. And then when you get down there, they take the shovel and hit you over the head with it. It's just,
right.
Yeah. Right. I'm not stupid. We've got to go into this stuff eyes wide open on some of these conversations.
No, I agree. And don't complain about hunters not showing up and then write an article about.
Yeah. That was just
bizarre. Not hunting sandhill cranes in Alabama. Like, it's just no wonder hunters didn't show up. Like, you know what I mean?
And that's
like,
not why like, they didn't not, show up, but
no, I know, but I'm just saying like that is a possibility. Like if you're going to bash hunting and then complain about hunters not showing up to the meeting, well, don't bash hunting.
I was considering going up to that meeting, like making the time to make the effort to go up there and speak on behalf of hunters and wild places. And man, that irritated me. It was like, okay,
oh, that's irritating.
Like this isn't convenient. We're talking about a 3.5 hour drive for me to get there. That's 7 hours. It's time away from my family. It's time away from like stuff I should be doing, but it's important. And I recognize that, man, don't hit me over the head with a shovel. All right.
Right.
Let's do keeps. What is your keep?
I have two keeps.
Oh, go.
Which is unprecedented for me.
You always yell at me when I do that.
First keep is a new album. It just dropped last Friday on Spotify. It's called Hicks Tape Volume 1. Have you heard of this?
Hicks, H-I-X?
I have not.
H-I-X.
Okay.
And it's this artist, I don't have it written down, but he collabs with like all these really well-known country artists, and he has like these really fun new songs, and they're almost like, almost a little bit rappy, but not really. They're just like funny, pithy, wordy country songs that are new, and they're so good. I've been listening to it all day. It's really, really, really
it's
good.
It's called Hicks Tape.
Hicks Tape Volume 1. We'll have a link to it in the show notes. It's got like Lauren Elena, Keith Urban, Morgan Wallen, like all okay. these great new kind of newish country peeps.
Sounds like the demise of country music.
Yeah.
Well, Kaylee, your sister, my musical guru, listened to it already, and she said she loved it. So for whatever that's worth, Kaylee's
well, she's dead
it.
To me, so.
Yeah. Okay.
She can't be best friends if you listen to Hicks Tape.
Second keep is Jenna Fisher, who I follow on social media, announced this week that she and Angela Kinsey are dropping a podcast in October 16th, called Office Ladies. And they will be taking you through. They'll watch an episode of The Office and then publish an episode where they talk about that episode, behind the scenes stuff that's happening, gossip about their coworkers, trivia. I cannot wait. I'm monumentally pumped.
I am 100% in on this keep.
Yeah.
I can't wait for that podcast.
I have some trepidation about that, and I'm going to tell you why.
Because of the West Wing Weekly?
Yeah. What is my favorite all-time show?
The West Wing.
And West Wing Weekly was that.
Josh
right?
Molina and Harishi Caraway, I want to say their
matter.
Names are, started doing a weekly podcast about the West Wing where they would do the same thing. And they had like different stars from the show come on and talk about it. And it got a little much after a while.
Yeah. It's just like, okay, remember we did a keep on Mega?
Yes.
Where they did the Mega Church and they were like spoofing it and making fun of it. That podcast isn't going anywhere. Like that's what I like on this. I will listen to it, and I'll listen to the ones about the episodes I really liked. Like I'll listen to Dinner
right.
Party. I'll listen to Benihana Christmas, but I don't think I can be in on it week after week after week. Like it's too much binge mode. I tried listening to Binge Mode because on your recommendation about the Harry Potter thing,
right.
I made it like 3 episodes. I'm like, I don't have this time of commitment in my life. Like they do 2.5 hours per chapter. And there's like 600 chapters in Harry
That's
Potter.
A good point. It'll be interesting to see when they start dropping episodes, like what the time span
right.
is.
But I'm excited
about
it.
It has to do with like the format too. Mm-hmm. Like what's the format of the podcast? Kind of what's the, are they going to have segments and like do fun things during the segment that might keep it interesting. But if they just sit there and talk about the episode for an hour, I can understand how that could get mundane.
Yeah.
But I think it'll still be fascinating, and I'm as big an Office fan as there is. Like I, you guys know that. I just, what's your keep?
My keep is eating Dove. I haven't eaten a Dove in several years because I don't know what I've been doing with my life. But we had some Dove this weekend from the ones we shot, and so
how'd you cook?
The guy was with, yeah, the guy I was with. He took the whole breast, wrapped it in bacon. put it in a pan, like a casserole dish almost, melted a stick of butter, put some Worcestershire sauce. Oh, he also put garlic sauce on the dove, or garlic salt on the dove.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Butter, Worcestershire sauce. I bet you could do, he didn't do this, but you could definitely do like some hot sauce too. Be really good. Melt the butter, mix that together, pour it over the doves, and then bake it at like 350 for like 30 minutes.
Mm. How was it?
And it was amazing. It was so good. Like the dove was tender and flavorful, not overcooked. Because you overcook dove, it kind of gets a little like
leathery
tasting. Yeah. And tough. But no, wasn't overcooked. And it was just really, really tasty. So now that I have some in my freezer, I'm excited to get working on them.
Yeah.
And do some stuff. And teaser alert, we're going to have some recipe stuff coming up in the coming months.
Yes.
About different things. So
nice. Stay tuned for that. The website redesign, we're going to start doing some recipe stuff on there.
Nice.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. My keep is a book that I just got in. I'm about four chapters into it. It's called Natural Rivals. It's the story of Gifford Pinchot and John Muir in America's Public Lands. The book is by a guy named John Clayton. He's a Montanan,
I think is right.
Anyway, fascinating look. It's not the best literary book I've ever read, but it's a fascinating look at the history of our public lands. And it's an example of exactly what I was just talking about. Obviously, this was a different point in time in history. But Gifford Pinchot was Roosevelt's, I forget, he held several hats within the Roosevelt cabinet, but he was the guy that viewed lands through the lens of multi-use. So we want to have BLM lands, but we may have to mine them. We may have to log them. We may have to do some stuff like that with them, but we're also going to allow public use of them, like a blended use model. And Muir was the preservationist. So one was a conservationist, one was a preservationist. And they went on a camping trip together, and I'm just getting to that part where they go on a camping trip to Glacier Lake in 1896, and they were viewed kind of as rivals historically. People think they did not like each other, and everything, as the author kind of dug into that, he discovered they actually liked each other very much. Their letters to each other were warm and friendly and complimentary to each other. Like, it's a fascinating perspective given the history of our public lands and juxtaposed with where we're at right now in our current. Cause I think conservation versus preservation is the next thing that's coming.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. I can see that happening.
It's boiling. So anyway, it's a great book. Gifford Pinchot, John Clayton is the author. Natural Rivals is the book. Get it. And you will be
woke.
Number one question I get every week in my DMs after the podcast drops is, who sings that song at the end of your show? This is Trail Diver with Citrus. You can find them on Spotify. Friends of the show, Trail Diver. Thank you guys all for listening to us, and make sure you're following us on all the social medias at CastSimpleSFL. Don't forget to leave us a 5-star review on iTunes if you can somehow crack that code. And have you told all your friends and family to check out the show? What are you waiting for? We appreciate everybody supporting us, and thank you so much for coming on this journey with us every week. Later.